CliffCentral.com.
It's a Wednesday morning. It's the last day of May.
Italy.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
You know, I never ever have been paid. Like a lot of people used to get paid on the 25th. Like if you earn a salary, that's when you get paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I always got paid on the last day of the month. Right, Mubs? I mean, do you remember... We used to get it on the 31st or the 30th of every month. I mean, obviously February, you know, 28 days or 29, but...
Yeah, it's standard freelancing procedure. You get paid on the last week day of the month.
Yeah, so I always got way more excited around the very ass end of the month than a lot of salaried people who get paid on the 25th or somewhere around there. It's, you know, you get an extra 5 or 6 or 7 days, depending. So I love the end of the month, even though now I suppose I could pay myself on the 25th.
Sure.
Feel what that feels like, right?
You can do whatever you want. But I discovered over the weekend that...
Of course, paying yourself is no fun at all. Right. You're like, well, I'm going to transfer this from this account to this one. Or I'll owe less on this, but more on that. It's the same thing, you know.
I discovered over the weekend that people get paid on... all kinds of dates, which I didn't know because I'm such an ignoramus. People get paid on the 22nd. Some people get paid on the 20th.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
That just seems like much of a muchness, though. It's like a conversation starter. It doesn't matter. You still get the same amount of money every month.
You still get the same amount of money. You still get the same 30 days because if you get paid the 20th of May, your next one comes on the 20th of June. So
exactly.
It's still the 30-day, same 30-day period.
And you still pull off for 29 of those days, wherever your 29 days fall.
Right. You see, I love getting paid on several different days off. Like I do a project here and a project there.
Oh, no, look, that's
it's
the greatest.
It's like little bursts of happiness
I remember
every week.
there was one month at the SABC where I invoiced and I rounded down. Mm-hmm. By a cent instead of rounding up by a cent because we'd get an hourly fee. You multiply it by number of hours you've done. There was some kind of process where I had to, with VAT or whatever, you had to round the number down. So I was 1 cent less on my invoice than I was meant to be paid. 1 cent, mind you. That month they didn't pay me. They had to roll it over to the month after. Can you imagine anything more stupid than that in your life?
Was there an explanation or?
No. They just didn't pay me. So the end of the month comes. I've got payments to make. You know, the car comes off. The bond money comes off. All that kind of shit. And then I look at my account and I'm like, oh my God. I haven't been paid this month. So now it's the first or the second already. The idiot here has just woken up. So I phone the management.
You phoned Cloudy, who was in payroll at that stage.
No, I phoned these fucking ingrates who were in charge of me. Biggest bunch of half-mongoloid Down syndrome people you've ever seen in your life functioning as or parading as human beings. They're basically, as they get out of the lift, you could see the trail like a snail would leave.
Okay.
Their brains. So I go... Oi! Hey, management! So you go, on the other side of the line, I'm like, oh, Jesus, she's busy brushing her teeth again.
So second time this year.
She goes, yes, yes. So what is wrong with you? She goes, what do you mean? So you look here, I haven't been paid. Did I work for you last month? She goes, yes. So I go, well, where's my money? You think I do this because I like you? She goes, let me have a look. So she calls me back about 5 minutes later. She says, no, well, you rounded down. In other words, I took the loss. It's not like they had to pay me more. If the 1 cent was so important, pay me 1 cent more. I'm the one who that wouldn't know. Or pay me 1 cent less. I could care. She, no, you rounded it down. I mean, I could not
such
believe.
Such an inconvenience.
I could not believe what I was hearing from this this marsupial.
Yeah.
So I said to her, look, you've got to be kidding me. Now what do we do? She's like, oh, no, you can put in 2 invoices for this month. But just make sure you get that 1 cent right.
Oh, wow.
Why was there any rounding?
I didn't have any means to, because that was, I didn't have any other, I can't remember. I don't think I had money coming in that month besides the SABC. So I just had to sit there and look at my bank balance looking really, really, and you know how people are. I mean, I was doing okay. I wasn't like impoverished, but my God. You take a month out of someone's. Imagine taking everyone's costs off, but nothing comes in for that month. I don't think I spent a cent.
But why
of
was
course,
it?
The next month felt like the, you know, I was on a Copacabana, baby.
Why was there a rounding process at all?
I don't know. There was something to do with VAT or total hours. I mean, one morning, these people were so stupid. The one morning I arrived late. I woke up late that morning, so I arrived at 6:45. So I said to them, well, I'm not going to invoice those 15 minutes for that hour, because you get paid by the hour, like a mine worker if you're in radio. You get paid like if you're an unskilled laborer, because you are technically unskilled labor. So you invoice only for the hours you worked. So I didn't invoice that morning. No, I was meant to take a fraction of that hour. But I couldn't take the whole thing. It was just such a mess. It was like you had... It's like you'd taken the dumbest kid in the class and made him the teacher.
It was a mess then. Can you imagine what it is now?
No, exactly.
Well, now people are just not getting paid.
I believe
period.
So, yeah.
It's a lot more efficient
can
now.
Can you imagine how frightening that is?
Yeah. Imagine you're doing the work... And now you can't even call up someone and find out what's happened because they have no idea. They're like, oh, well, there's nothing in the bank. Oh, man. What is wrong with you, my buddy? I mean...
Everything.
You say to me yesterday, she sends an email to all of us. She's like, oh, I left my phone. Will someone just check? She goes, can you guys just check? I left my phone somewhere. And it could be on that wooden table in the hub, in the studio. So we'll do a little search. And we look everywhere, and we under the table and behind the rubbish bins and the coffee machine and here where you sit in the studio. No phone. And I thought, oh, God. I mean, did you even look, Lucas?
Yeah, I even lifted my rabbit up to see if maybe...
maybe it was under the rabbit.
The rabbit had a phone or what?
Oh, shame. The rabbit almost got implicated.
Yeah.
So we're all worried now. Oh, shame, poor my buddy. She's lost her phone or she's dropped it on the way to the car. Or you know, you think anything could have happened. Well, Miss, my brain is up my backside.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean... It was at home the whole time. You didn't even bring it to work yesterday.
Look, my brain is fried, yes.
What's
but this isn't even the saddest part of the story.
Yeah. Yes?
This is not the first time that this has happened to me. I have once left my phone in the studio, and then Sia found it, and then he emailed me to say, you left your phone.
Right.
I've once walked out of this building and then later in the day gotten a message from Dory to say, your laptop is here.
Oh my
so I've
goodness.
Left an entire laptop here. Yesterday I had left my phone at home, which has happened at least twice this year. Before the show started, Sia asked me a bunch of questions, which sadly all have embarrassing answers. He asked me, if I've ever forgotten to lock the doors at home, and I said yes. Have I ever left the home and then come back to find that the stove was on? Yes.
Mabali, you are a hazard.
I know.
I don't think you can, like, actually live alone.
I think,
like,
I mean, I've made it to 33 years. You're I think I'm okay.
No, I don't know. Let me tell you something. I think in law there's something called a curator ad personam. And they always appoint one of these people if someone's got no sense of responsibility. They're like, you know, they need almost someone to sign documents on their behalf and represent them and help them across the street. They do when someone's incapacitated. I think we got to find you one.
Look, I don't. I mean, it sounds like a plausible explanation. I've always just blamed it on my lack of short-term memory, because if you had to ask me what we were talking about on the show yesterday right now, I'm not going to be able to tell you. Remember, there was that incident where I found my keys in the fridge after having... There was that. I've always blamed it on the fact that my short-term memory is short. And I'm not saying that all the marijuana smoking I did in varsity has compromised me in any way. That's not what I'm saying.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Mab. Short-term stimulation sounds way better.
I mean, I forget just basic day-to-day things that a lot of people get done very easily.
Do you find that, like, you multitask?
Well, yes, I'm always
maybe that's a thing, because, like, you aren't focusing on one thing solely.
Don't make excuses for her. I mean, I've done dumb stuff. Everybody's done. This is not the first time. I mean, do you remember the email conversation we had where you're the only person who was never seeing emails, and your email just looked like a big trash can that people just thrown out of the crap
and
in.
Shaking about as well.
It looked like a Mexican toilet at one stage.
I don't want to know what's going on in your handbag, for example.
It's a disaster.
Right.
It doesn't get better.
It's so messy in there. In my buddy's head is... There's a lot, and technology is not your best friend.
It's not my strongest.
I mean, the reply she sends us all yesterday is, oh, well, I'll just have to buy a new phone. Well, you can't get hold of me until I do.
I mean, I was...
It's just, okay.
I was letting you know that if anything urgent has to happen in the WhatsApp group, the work WhatsApp group, I might not have access to it.
Meanwhile, things sitting... How did you find out that you'd left it at home? Where was it lying? In your house? Was it on the counter? Was it in the bedroom? Was it in the bathroom?
It was on the bed, on the side table, where it usually stays when I sleep.
Did you go back home thinking maybe I didn't even take it?
Oh, man.
I mean, I considered that could be an option because it had happened before. But at one point, I was genuinely panicking because I thought, well, if this phone is not at home, then I'm properly screwed.
Right.
But it's quite a thing because people have to have their phones nowadays. So if you've left home without it, you go into paranoia before you even get into work. Most people, of course.
Yeah.
The fact that at 9 o'clock you were like, oh, crap, I left my phone at the studio.
No, not 9. This is about... 10. We got the email at, what, like 11. So until... From when she woke up that morning. Your phone's your alarm as well, right?
Yes.
So at like 5:15. From 5:15 until probably about 10, she's like... looking in her pockets.
Mm-mm.
And she's digging around in her bag.
Mm-mm.
Not even. You're oblivious.
I mean,
she's just like in a... What were you thinking about?
She's the most free out of all of us then.
The people,
it's just amazing. I'm blown away. You're the only person in 2017 who is not a slave to your machines.
Wow.
And the people that I go and work with after this show, they also couldn't understand. And I said to them, guys, I wake up in the morning, I get in the shower, I get dressed, I drive to the studio, I'm in the studio on my laptop for 3 hours and I'm working.
Yes.
Then I get into my car and I drive to the next place of work. When I get there is when I will look into my bag and then I'll discover that, oh, the phone is not here. I mean, up until 9 o'clock, I'm not on my phone because we're here in the studio on our laptops, we're working.
Where's your phone right now?
It's in my bag.
I don't know.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I grabbed it this morning and I walked out of it, locked the door. Thank you very much, Sia. Walked into my car.
Where is your car? I heard your car was up the road at the garage. Just sitting there with the engine still running. Is that right?
Oh, my gosh.
I really wouldn't be surprised at this point.
Do you don't have any pets. Do you have a plant at home that you water?
But this is why I'm saying that I should never have children because I would be a terrible, terrible mother.
They would be at school for 3 years.
I would be a terrible mother.
No one would fetch those kids. They'd eventually send them off to the orphanage. And about 2 years later, my buddy would go, I'm sure I had a kid.
And the worst thing is they wouldn't know how to go home because they'll have your genetics and probably miss a few things too.
Yeah. I mean, what is that?
I know. I'm embarrassed by it. If you have any suggestions on how... I mean, are there any exercises that I could do? Are there just basic practical things that I could do?
I genuinely believe it's a stimulation thing.
I'm not sure if I left my phone in the studio or on the big wooden table outside the studio where I sit. Please, can you have a look for me and let me know when you find it? If it is there, please give it to Sia and I'll get it from him tomorrow. Thanks, my bunny Malloy. Then later on, she... This is the strangest message. She goes, is this thing on?
You guys weren't responding to my email.
We're looking for your fucking phone.
We're turning this place upside down.
So then Dory replies later. She's like, sorry, we don't see it. And Sia goes, so odd, none of us have seen it. Have you looked elsewhere?
We were questioning guests.
In your car, perhaps. So my buddy replies.
Spell it out for her.
She goes, bummer. Nah, it's definitely gone. Please note, I am without a phone until I get a replacement. Working on that ASAP, Tar Mubs. You lunatic.
Oh, my goodness.
You are so dangerous.
Or I'm getting old, guys.
No.
I mean, this could be early onset Alzheimer's for me. No, we never know.
I don't know. I don't think this is an age thing or this is just craziness. You're just crazy. You're certifiably crazy. Anyway, so there's my buddy. She's got a phone, but she's not 100% sure where it is.
Yeah, or anything really.
Imagine if you did have a pet, you'd come home one week and there'd be a skeleton there.
Yeah.
And you'd go, I wonder what that is. Oh, it was my pet.
What happened? Oh, did I buy the food this month?
I mean, Lucas, imagine how many rabbits would go starving if you didn't buy the food for them and care about them.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, my buddy... You will never get a rabbit from me.
No. Dangerous. Well, I mean, have you ever heard such stuff? Amanda, you're new to the show. You must meet a lot of people who are very, very strange. And, you know, 20-year-olds are not well known for being the most responsible. They lose phones all the time. But this must strike you as odd.
Well, not really, because my mom tends to do stuff like this. Like, she's ridiculous. We don't even know why she has a phone. Like, she'll just leave it. I'm not anywhere, like... And then, yeah, no, I just don't get why she actually has a laptop or a phone or anything like that. And the sad part is she's not even old, so I don't even know what the hell she's doing. Like, it's just... But, you know, it happens to 20-year-olds, too. Like, a few weeks ago, I left my handbag in an Uber. And I only realized, like, 7 hours later that I actually needed my bag.
Yeah, okay, then it's not just my buddy, is that what you're saying?
No. It's woman.
Wow, okay.
No.
Well, all right, let's take that as it. Listen, do you know this Billy Bush story?
Who is Billy Bush?
He's the guy who was on the bus with Trump.
When they revealed
grab him by the pussy, yeah.
Oh, okay. What's his designation?
He was on the Today Show, all right. Now this guy, we spoke about Ryan Seacrest the other day. And how Ryan Seacrest is just he's a good-looking guy. His job is to read the cue cards. He doesn't have much personality. He's got nothing he's really famous for. Nothing Ryan Seacrest has ever said is memorable, if you know what I mean. And that's how you keep a job like that. That's what you do, is you just read the cue cards and you blend in. And you don't show any personality. You know, I've built a career out of controversial stuff and... I get into trouble often. I fight with a lot of people. It's very, very stressful. It's not fun. I wish I'd landed with my backside. First of all, I wish I'd been born beautiful. Then I wouldn't have any of this trouble. It would be easy for me. I'd go straight into television or movies or something like that because the good looks, a rock star, whatever it might have been. And I would have started making money right off the bat like Ryan Seacrest does. Now, Billy Bush is this pretty good-looking guy. He has a job on the Today Show. It's a great show to be on. You just, you wake up with people every morning. Hey, folks. Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful day across the Eastern Seaboard today. Yeah, that's what you do. It's like It's like those jobs on morning television in South Africa. You know, the Sunrise and the Morning Live, and you don't have to put yourself out there. It's not like any hardcore questions are going to come up or you're going to make people laugh outright. No one laughs. Those shows are just it's wallpaper.
It's wallpaper.
It really is. It's wallpaper. And most morning shows on radio are wallpaper. They just blend into the background, and you know, this is what it sounds like to most people driving in their car.
We'll be back after these words.
And it goes to a commercial, and then it comes out, and there's da-da-da-da, and there's music, and the greatest radio station in the world. Nobody listens. It's not like they're saying anything important. Well, God forbid.
Well, you're just there to... to get people up and
yeah,
happy.
You're there
That's
to facilitate
all.
Their morning. You're like a... You're just pleasant. You're pleasant. Mm. That's all you have to be. I'm not a pleasant person. No, I'm the first to admit it.
Mm.
These guys, this Billy Bush, Billy Bush and Ryan Seacrest, they're the most pleasant. It's like a jellyfish. It kind of has no real shape. It doesn't really stand for anything. It's not. You're never going to get into an argument. When last did you see Ryan Seacrest say anything he really felt passionate about? He doesn't.
Mm-mm. I think he didn't he get powder thrown on him on one of the red carpets by some comedian?
Even then he didn't react.
I mean, he laughed and he high-fived the guy and he was like, that's so nice.
Totally. And I would have punched the fucker in the head. Right?
Sacha Baron Cohen.
I'm sorry, I can't keep myself in the middle of the road. Now, if you've got one of those jobs like Billy Bush on the Today Show, you just have to just keep quiet. Don't let them even notice you, because then management will keep you there for 40 years and you can make a pile of money and go home every day and grin from ear to ear about how little you did to earn that money. You don't have to put yourself out there. You're never going to get sued. You're never going to have old ladies in old age homes saying, I just don't understand why you're so controversial. It'll never happen. You just do your job, right, Mubs? So anyway, he goes on the bus with Trump, and Trump says, grab him by the pussy. Now, and Billy the Bush is, the pussy. Now, Billy Bush is...
Did you really laugh when...
Yeah.
That's awkward.
Is it? What else do you do?
Everybody would have laughed.
You would have laughed. I would have laughed. I mean, it's a stupid thing to say. I mean, we've talked about this before, but how do you grab someone by the pussy? It's bizarre. So here he is. Listen to how he's apologizing. And you know when these guys are in trouble, they always go in one of two directions. Direction number one. Anyone want to guess? You're really in trouble now. You're trying to rehabilitate yourself so you can get back on the gravy train. What's number one?
So you apologize.
You need forgiveness.
Yeah.
How do you prove to America, or how do you prove to the world that you're a good person?
I think you rope God into it.
Yeah. That's it. You rope God in. That's number one. And number two, you talk about the children.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
Listen to this. So he's talking about his 16-year-old daughter. Listen.
After the infamous lewd exchange between television personality Billy Bush and Donald Trump from 2005 was released, Bush tells GMA's Robin Roberts the tape brought his daughter to tears, and she didn't understand why her father didn't stop the conversation.
And she said, no. Why were you laughing at the things that he was saying on that bus? Why were you playing along with that? It wasn't funny.
He had to tell his daughter there was no good answer for that. It was Bush's first television interview since the video was released. The 2005 tape released last October by the Washington Post shows Trump bragging about his ability to grope women because he's a star. For Trump's part, he dismissed it as locker room banter and added,
I said it, I was wrong, and I apologize.
At first, NBC News signaled Bush would get to apologize on air. That never happened.
Oh, they threw him the hell out of there because suddenly he's not controversial. I mean, he's not middle of the road. Uh-oh. What's going to happen? All the family viewing. Uh-oh. They know he thinks about pussy all the time. They know he finds that funny. I mean, the one guy, he says, I'm sorry. And he just carries on. He becomes president of the United States. The other guy gets fired. He's been called all kinds of... His family's daughter's busy. Oh, Dad, I can't believe you're talking about the pussy. Donald Trump. And he's now crawling. He's groveling for his job back. I don't know. I do not understand. It's very bizarre, right? I heard this clip yesterday. It's like a leaked tape. It's going to apparently be on this Good Morning America, this Robin Roberts show. this week. But this is Billy Bush. First thing he does, rope in his daughter. Because you know what he's trying to do is show... Obviously, the spin doctors have got hold of him. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, if your daughter... That's extra bad because you're showing people that you have a daughter and she was offended by this. And you apologize to her. Mm. If you can apologize to her, you must be a good person.
Yes, because it will put you in a good light as a responsible, caring father.
Right.
Ugh, please.
What do you think?
No, I mean, we know it's all BS.
Right. Anyway, look, we got to get to news.
Oh.
Look at the time.
Look at it.
Indeed. The news is brought to you by Col Cacio Pizzeria. They're opening up a brand new store in the V&A waterfront in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, Cape Town? They'll have water. You can order water. I mean, that's going to be the number one menu item at the new V&A waterfront Col Cacio's. They're opening this June. And they've also got a whole bunch of other options for you, too, including comfort food with less carbs and a Banting range. They've got a vegan range as well. And they've got new stores in Johannesburg at Eastgate and Northcliffe that are both up and running. So get on down to your nearest Col Cacio Pizzeria and make your stomach happy. Make your body say thank you for something great. Make your taste buds come alive. That's what you need. Col Cacio Pizzeria, baby. Here's the news. By the way, that was that trombone is played by Billy Bush, who's looking for a job. So we thought we'd give him a leg up.
Okay.
Hi, Mubs.
Well, Gareth, a fourth suspect has been arrested in the Hannah Cornelius case. This was mentioned yesterday through one of the WhatsApp messages that we get.
Oh, right. She was that girl who was hijacked and
spoke
raped,
about it very killed. Briefly yesterday. But yeah, a fourth man has been arrested in connection with the rape and murder of the Stellenbosch University student. The police's Frederik van Wyk says that a 26-year-old man will be appearing in the court today. They confirmed the fourth suspect is a 26-year-old man from, is it Klootsville or Klootersville in Stellenbosch? I'm not sure. He was arrested last night and will make the court appearance this morning on a charge of murder. The 21-year-old student and her friend were hijacked during the early hours of Saturday morning. The friend managed to escape with head wounds, but Hannah's body was discovered later near a farm between the town and Kraaifontein.
What a horrible story.
What a horrible story. So four suspects now stand accused. Two accused, Vernon Witboy and Geraldo Parsons, appeared in the Stellenbosch Magistrates Court yesterday already. But yeah, they've got four suspects in custody with regards to that case. And I suppose, as a result, an urgent debate on violence against women has now been scheduled in Parliament for tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is after the DA basically put in a request for an urgent debate to be had in the National Assembly. According to the DA spokesman on police matters, Zakhele Mbele, he said, I publicly call for ministers Fikile Mbalula, Susan Shabangu, and Michael Masuta to address this debate. Their portfolios of police, women and justice are key to protecting women in South Africa and the people of our country. He says that the scourge of violence against women will continue unless serious government intervention happens. So that will be happening tomorrow.
Well, let's see if anything comes of it. They'll just sit around and talk like politicians do.
And then absolutely nothing will happen. And then, something else will happen that will keep us occupied, and then we'll move on to the next one. That's kind of how it goes.
Dummies.
Now, are you feeling cold yet? Brrr.
Yes.
Well,
funny you mention it, but I did realize that winter is on the way.
Okay. Oh. Well, I hate to bring back two words that we thought we'd forgotten about.
Load shedding.
Load shedding, Ben. Thank you very much. 10 points for you.
Okay,
you're kidding
than,
me, right? Oh, no. They were just telling us they had surpluses the other day. Now these nincompoops who we've discovered that they're busy. Basically, they're paying for the Guptas. So when you pay for electricity, you're helping the Guptas. Now they're going to tell us they can't provide?
Well, that's according to the Eskom chair, Ben Ngubane, who has warned that load shedding could become a reality as the power utility struggles to get coal contracts approved.
How is this man even allowed to address us? He should be in jail. He should be on a chain gang fixing potholes on the road, telling us about whether our electricity... Listen to me. You got the worst business in the universe. You're telling customers to use less of your product. That never happens. You're charging them more for less. That never happens. You're still running at a loss. That never happens. And you've got the most dodgy deals with people who are absolutely nothing to do with providing electricity, who are in the president's circle of friends. You're a disgrace, Ben Gubani. You have run the singular worst operation in human history.
He's stupid. He even gives... He's so stupid. Like, how can they also give Brian 30 million rand?
And then, then they take it back. Then he's fired. Then he's not. Then he's hired. You don't even know who your CEO is, Ben.
No,
Ben Gubani.
Eskom doesn't have money. Why keep spending more than it?
Because they don't... Because you've put someone in charge who's got half his brain missing.
Guys, do you not also think that they're going to use this winter to really get the nuclear deal going? So they're going to bring the country to its knees and go, oh, see, you know, we need the nuclear because we can't...
I got a solution. Forgive me, but how much energy can we produce if we burn Ben Gubani and the board of Eskom?
Probably not quite enough.
Yeah, not enough. Not nearly enough. So Ngubani and the CEO, Brian Molefe, are defending Eskom's coal contracts before Parliament's Standing Committee on Public Accounts. This is Molefe's first appearance before the Standing Committee since his return at the helm of Eskom 2 weeks ago. Molefe says that, well, Eskom recognized its failures in complying with procurement regulations, and hence it commissioned audits by PricewaterhouseCoopers. He also added that the current board has changed its approach to coal procurements. He concluded by saying he only joined Eskom after the Tegeta deal was concluded, and so he could not be accused of giving the company preferential treatment. There's a whole bunch of stuff happening there, but prepare yourselves.
We cannot believe you. I'm sorry. You are the least credible person in the universe right now. Brian Molefe, please. Does he really think there's a world where we would listen to
him?
Yes.
Yes.
I think this is the most embarrassing thing. If you know anyone in his family, please tell them to stop this guy before he hurts himself. He's about to trip over his own tongue.
Gareth, people of this caliber don't get embarrassed. Why must we keep coming back to this? They live in their own world where they are right, and they'll just keep doing what they do because they're never accountable.
All right. You probably are right. I get frustrated because... Forgive me, I might actually believe there's a world where integrity is a real thing.
Yes, and I admire that about you. But it's but a waste of energy when talking about these cretins.
Yeah, I'm the idiot. Fool me once, shame on me. No, shame on you. How does George W. Bush got it wrong as well?
Shame on me.
Fool me once, can't fool me again. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me. No, you. Shame on. Shame on.
Fool me Jesus once, shame Christ. On you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
Right.
Fool me three times, you work at Eskom.
Well, you see, Ben has just taken it to another level. Listen, I saw you retweeting. Now I can't remember who you retweeted, Gareth. But essentially, the tweet
me?
Was yes. I saw it last night on my phone. but basically,
That's when she found her phone.
Yep. I saw you retweeting something that alluded to the fact that, well, if you thought that this past Sunday's revelations were gobsmacking, wait until this Sunday.
Yes. Besonge Zazibi, who said
thank you.
He's heard, this is the former editor of the Business Day, said he's heard, if you think that those revelations on Sunday are a big deal, there's a whole lot more coming. It's going to be even more saucy.
Well, I tell you what, the leaked emails in the Gupta saga continues, but I'll tell you all about that after 7 o'clock. And then we'll also talk about how more charges have been added to the president's 773 million and 70. Yeah. After 7.
All right, all of that's on the way, but let's go to Ben and see what's happening in the world of sports. Happening, Ben?
Well, no surprise. Arsene Wenger will stay at Arsenal.
Oh, you didn't predict this at all.
Yeah, so he's been there for 21 years, right? Let's put this into perspective. When Arsene Wenger went to Arsenal, Tony Braxton was still in the charts. the very first Scream movie was the movie to go watch. When Arsene Wenger went to Arsenal, Will Smith's gun was still smoky from killing Tupac.
Oh, here we go.
He has been there for so long. So long. So long.
That's so good.
That's very politician-like of Arsene Wenger. He refuses to leave.
I mean, you were still tucking your shirt into chinos when Arsene Wenger joined Arsenal. It's such a long time ago. Look, he's returned 16 trophies, right? There's been a new stadium. He spent £700 million on players. There's been success, but it's been a tale of two halves, if you will. The first 10 years of his tenure there, great. He even had a team that went unbeaten in the Premier League, right? Did not lose a game in the league the whole season.
Right.
They were really shit hot. They were amazing. But then nothing. Next 10 years...
Crickets.
Funny enough, the next 10 years, the results were kind of similar. His win percentage, all that kind of stuff, almost identical. But all the other teams kind of moved on a bit, and they all got better. Right. Arsenal never did. The final of the Champions League's the best they did. 2006 it was. They lost to Barcelona. So there's been no European success. And I think anyone who's been in a club that long, you would think, like, again, 21 years.
Sure.
So he's been given another 2 years. It was always going to happen, unfortunately, because it's a business, Arsenal, and Arsene is good for business because he balances the books. So if they were to go and take a dabble on someone else, it's like if you've got 6 kids, right, and you've got a job, you can't suddenly go, you know what, I'm going to freelance and have a dabble at graphic design. Your family's going to go, whoa, 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 that sounds sexy, but no, we've got bills to pay. So Arsenal's got bills to pay, and Arsene will get the bills paid.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunately where it is, because there's no other manager that's going to come in and keep the ship going like this. And the board has got used to a certain way of doing business. I don't mean to sound unromantic about sport and so clinical, but that's kind of how it is. So look at it like that, you go, of course Arsenal's going to stay. But again, Tony Braxton, that was the song Arsene came into. On that.
It's just you're making me sad love song.
You're making me high by Tony Braxton. If that was... If people were going, oh, this new Tony Braxton song is a business, that's when Arsene started.
Basically, Amanda was one.
Oh, my.
When Arsene Wenger... No, not even. You weren't even born when Arsene Wenger took over, right?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even know who that is. Yeah.
See, exactly.
Yeah. See.
Wow. Sure. In rugby news, looks like Dwayne Vermeulen will not be playing in the first test against France because he only gets to the camp four days before the test. So, of course, he is a French-based player, which will be great against the French because these are the guys he plays against supposedly on a week-to-week basis. That's very, very good. Mm-hmm. The Aussies, they've named their squad for their junior internationals. In Australia, they're playing against like Scotland and Fiji and other people. And, they've decided to go against having some of the older guard, and they've really been backing the youth. Now, Coach Michael Checker says they've got to put form on the board, but if you look at the board of Super Rugby, tough to see where the form is. So it'll be interesting to see how good this team will be this year, because the Aussies somehow always scrape together a competitive international team. I don't know how they do it. They've got about 87 people who actually care about rugby union in that country, but they managed to get it done. But I think this year is going to be the big, big turning point for them.
See, just to be clear, rugby union is the kind we play. Rugby league is what Australians care about.
Yeah, and England and New Zealand to a lesser extent.
Okay, so just so you know, because otherwise you embarrass us again by asking about rugby league.
Rugby union, South Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, like SARU.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Rugby, sorry. Okay, you know what, we're knocking into this now.
Okay, never mind.
SA Rugby has officially bid for the 2023 World Cup. Now, if they don't get this, I tell you what, World Rugby, I will be going to Ireland and I will be kicking your door in. They have bid for this tournament in 2011, 2015, and 2019, and they got none of those things. None of them, not one. This is the greatest, and I'm not just saying it's because I'm South African and because 1995 was such a great success, but this is the best, perfect country to host a Rugby World Cup. Infrastructure's here, amazing airports, amazing rugby culture, amazing stadiums. Everything's amazing. The weather's great and beer is cheap. You could not actually make a better country to host this thing. And you're telling me, World Rugby, that South Africa's had to bid for this now for the fourth time, and even now it's not a guarantee. Ireland also want to have a bid for this, but come on. It rains there every day. Beers are wishy-washy. I mean, come on, Guinness is overrated. And then France also won't have a go. No, none of you are going to have this. It's essays to win. And Yuri Yulu delivered a 827-page bid. Maybe that's why they haven't been getting it. Who's got time to read 827 pages? Mm. A quick PowerPoint, a 5-minute video, and a celebrity endorsement. Come on, who else wants to know anything else? Easy as that. Then they go, cool, this is going to have to be it.
These guys need some presentation workshop training.
Yeah, I mean, it looks all good and well. It looks like he's delivering the Encyclopedia Britannica to the officers
and do
here.
You really want these people presenting? Have you seen them on Supersport?
Well, yes, that's all we got.
Jesus.
So it is predicted that the 2023 Rugby World Cup could have a 27 billion rand direct, indirect, all that kind of stuff impact on South Africa. 27 billion. Of course, what the politicians care about is that 1.4 billion of that alone will be for tax benefit for government. That's big money, huh? Those are good numbers. Bring on the Rugby World Cup.
We need whatever. If we can generate money,
it's good,
government
huh?
should let anything that can generate us money should be on the agenda.
Well, exactly. I mean, government are behind this. You know, there was that whole sort of skirmish around the fact that transformation goals weren't being met, so therefore there'd be absolutely no international tournaments anymore. Well, everyone's behind this. Rugby World Cup 2023, bring it to where it belongs, South Africa. And that's from me, World Rugby. Do it. Tiger Woods was actually found asleep, guys, behind the wheel. Now, he wasn't drinking.
Oh.
There was no booze in his system whatsoever. Now, if we go back a bit...
Okay, we have to take back the things we said yesterday. Stop then.
I didn't think I called him a boozy yesterday. I just wanted him to own up to who he is. Anyway, yesterday.
Billy Bush. You caught him in a moment where he was revealing himself as the real Tiger.
Yesterday was yesterday. Okay, so the last time that the state troopers in Florida had to deal with Tiger's crashed car is when his wife basically beat him up with a 9-9 and then he crashed it into a hydrant of some sort. So a photo has been revealed of Tiger's car. I mean, Tiger drives like a gangster Escalade with like the big rims and it's black and it's like it's a real pimping car. Mm. So this photo, I'll post it on Twitter after I read this report to you. There's a lot of damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Tiger was on pain medication. This is what he said, okay? And this story backs up because there was no booze in the situation. And he basically was, like, blanking out. So he was driving around Florida, driving into things, an absolute mess. His tires were flat. The front right of his car was absolutely screwed. He pulled over on the side of a 6-lane highway, basically, facing the wrong direction to where he was supposedly going home. And they found him asleep at the wheel. So when you take the medication that he has been taking, okay, this guy's come out of his fourth back surgery. He knows, I mean, pain is no stranger to Tiger. He takes a lot of meds, and of course he's an insomniac on top of that. But here he is taking all of this and then operating heavy machinery. There's a lot more to the story, but we can rule out it wasn't booze.
I mean, he can't be happy. If you're on that much medication, this sounds like a disaster. And again, at that time of the morning.
But where are you going after taking all of this, and why are you leaving the house? So what used to happen when we used to screw all those call girls, that he used to take all these meds, and then basically it was like a poor man's auto-asphyxiation. He used to go in and out of consciousness and for, you know, heightened orgasms and stuff. And then that's when his wife basically wrapped a 9-9 around his head because she found out that this is what he was doing.
Mm. Right.
So maybe he's back into that, which again, you know, go for it, Tiger. Be you. I just want to know more. I just want to know more. If we can rule out there was booze.
See, Tiger and Escalades, hey?
Yeah.
There wasn't this before. Yay.
Well, onto the French Open we go. And starting off with Margaret Court, that bigoted old bitch.
Yeah, we found out all about how backward she is yesterday.
Well, Andy Murray from the French Open, where he finally won a match, he said this Margaret Court thing has to be cleared up well before the start of the tournament because some players, let's just call them same-sex interested people, because that's what Margaret would probably try not call them, because she hates same-sex marriage.
Right.
Homosexual people. They don't want to play on the Margaret Court Arena. So Andy's saying, well, if that's going to happen, it'll be a right kerfuffle when it comes to tournament play, because then you'll be scheduled to play on the court, but then you'll boycott it, saying, I don't want to step foot into Margaret Court Arena, which is right. I wouldn't watch a game at Margaret Court Arena. Yeah,
so are they going to rename it?
Well, they have to, Gareth. This is the thing. But Andy rightly said they've got to sort this out well before January.
By the way, is it called the Margaret Court Court?
No.
Margaret Court Arena.
Arena. That's
it should have been the court.
It should have been the Margaret Court Court.
It should have been, yeah.
Well, they could still call it the Arena Court, and then they could keep the name, but nobody will know because it's sort of hidden in there.
Well, the full name is actually the Margaret Court Piss Off Homos. I didn't think South African apartheid was too bad, Arena.
I'm glad they shortened it because that's a lot to remember.
Yeah. Anyway, so Margaret thinks she's done no wrong. Andy wants it all done. But on to the results. It was an interesting day yesterday at the French Open because some of the seeds fell out. Mandy Murray was not one of them. But Alexander Zverev, now this is the guy that beat Djokovic recently, shit hot talent, he's out. German ninth seed. Fernando Verdasco, he beat him. Kei Nishikori beat Kokkinakis. So Japanese eighth seed there.
Yay.
Stan Wawrinka, he's through. As is Gael Monfils. Kevin Anderson from South Africa, he's through as well. And Nick Kyrgios, he is through. He beat Philipp Kohlschreiber. In the women's draw, Svitolina, the Ukrainian fifth seed, she's through and she could well be in line for this trophy. Eugenie Bouchard, well, she beat Risa Ozaki, so she's still in. That's very good. Madison Keys, who did pretty well in the Australian Open, she's through. Halep is through, despite her dodgy ankle. And then Hasi Su-Wi beat Joanna Konta. That was unexpected. The Great Britain seventh seed, she's gone. And then Pliskova, well, she lost.
Yes, Pliskova. Wow.
Big upset there by Chloe Paquet.
The women's game is just such a mess right now.
And then Radwanska, she beat Fiona Ferris, so she's still through. And Joe Wilfred Tsonga, that could be the next big casualty. He's basically teetering on the edge. Bad light stop play there, but he was on the verge of losing to an Argentinian guy by the name of Olivio. Olivo. Venus Williams, she's in action today. She'll play a Japanese girl called Nara. And then Muguruza, she'll be on center court. And then Nadal will also be playing today. And everyone, of course, is talking about Nadal, the tenth title. This is his whole thing. Mm-hmm. Can he get number 10? And then, well, it's Djokovic also playing. But I'll get to all those other games tomorrow. Going to finish off with some ice hockey news. Now, a man has thrown a catfish onto the ice.
What does this mean?
Well,
man has thrown a catfish onto the ice.
There is a tradition for the certain team that he supports. They're from the south, right? They're a bit rough down there.
All right.
So basically, the Stanley Cup, huge, huge thing there, right? So a self-professed dumb redneck has thrown a catfish onto the ice. He supports the Nashville Predators, right? And this is something they apparently do. Yeah, no, this is an actual thing. Go this on. Is something they actually do, but people are not impressed with this.
This is definitely what everybody's going to be talking about today, other than, of course, the fantastic win here at PPG Paints Arena. This Predators fan waited 23 minutes to throw that catfish onto the ice. He was sitting in the lower bowl when he did so. And right now it's unclear exactly where he was keeping this catfish. You can see that he was only wearing a T-shirt at the game last night. Now, the toss came in the second period when the Pens were up 3-0. The Predators fan tossed the catfish over the boards in front of section 122 between the goal line and the blue line, right on the edge of the protective netting. He was promptly thrown out of PPG Paints Arena, but told a Nashville radio station that he did not get arrested, but was told not to come back to Pittsburgh again. If you believe in the superstition, it may have worked. Nashville was able
these hicks.
So just to give a bit more background around why they toss a catfish and how they do this, this is pretty funny.
Oh, there's more?
Yeah. Who threw catfish on the ice on Monday, and Jesse, they say they're just carrying on a tradition.
Yeah, it all started back in 2003 in a game against Detroit. Now, Detroit famously throws octopuses out onto the ice, but we decided to give a southern flair to it. So we throw catfish. And I spoke to the guys who threw out the fish on Monday. They said they're friends of Mike Fisher and they're big fans of Predator hockey.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Huh?
Plays, it's something that you get into.
Something you get into is normally a hobby. But for season ticket holder Austin Castleman and his friends, that something is the tradition of throwing catfish on the ice.
We kind of felt like it was dying down, and last year we told the boys, you go up 2-0, you come back, we're throwing some fish on the ice.
Well, it happened, and it was caught on video. This year they decided to do it again, and it all starts with getting the fish.
Going to the Nolensville market and getting catfish.
Oh, my God. All right. Okay, we got to get to Anthea. That's ridiculous. That's an actual thing.
What these guys do is they strap these things to their back, and it stinks, and everyone around them knows they're holding a catfish, and they wait from the throat. It's, wow,
stupid. Let's get to Anthea and see what's happening with your money.
For the money. Yes, she does so. Better treat her right.
morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
What's happening?
Yeah, so the Rand had a rather predictable blowout yesterday. All the foreigners came back to work. It's now 13.13 to the US dollar. It not so bad against the euro, still holding its own 14.64 this morning. But at least we've seen a bit of benefit from this weaker Rand. Our stock market closed almost 0.5% higher yesterday. All the major indices were higher, but volumes were very low still. So nothing totally convincing, really. There were a couple of quite exceptional share moves yesterday. Nampak was up 15% on the day.
Wow.
They reported first half of the financial year earnings up 8%, which doesn't seem that incredible. But I think they used to be a real darling of the South African market, and they've had a tough 8 years. And so it looks like this restructuring, you know, preserving cash, selling off their non-core businesses really is working in their favor. And they've hinted at the idea of possibly paying a dividend again, not this time around, but maybe next time. It used to be a 45 Rand share. It's been trading below 20 Rand for a while now. And then yesterday it closed at 21.85. So the market, I think the market's just betting on a turnaround.
Hmm.
And then Mr. Price also released numbers yesterday. Pretty shocking, actually. Revenue down 1.2%. Headline earnings per share down 14%. Shocking result. But again, the share price was up 4% yesterday. And again, potentially, you know, also they're coming out of a tough time. Like last year, they had a really bad season. And so maybe the market's giving them the benefit of the doubt already.
Okay,
so I think
well,
that's quite interesting.
Maybe some predictability somewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, like with the consumer so hard-pressed, like you have to wonder what the investment thesis is for this company. And with competition, international competition, a difficult one to call, I think.
Okay.
And then the big shocker of the day yesterday was the announcement by Liberty Group that their CEO, Thabo Dlhathi, had resigned with immediate effect. I think what got everyone's attention was the communique was so straightforward. Like most companies have the decency to lie to us, you know. They kind of go, the CEO's leaving for personal or family reasons, and they thank him for his service to the company, and he's taking time out But not yesterday, not well, with Liberty. They basically
said... It would appear that they, obviously, the board and the CEO had no common ground.
Yeah, that's exactly what they said. They had a fallout. He had a fallout with the board about the strategic future of the business. I mean, you have to wonder what has gone so wrong that he has to leave immediately and that they didn't thank him for his service. You know, so Thabo Dlhathi has come from... He used to be the CEO of Stanlib, and then he took over, I think it was from... Bruce Hemphill in 2014.
Yep.
And I get it, you know. The business has been under a lot of pressure. Earnings was down 46%. They've lost market share. They've come through fairly tough times. They're very dependent on the consumer as well. Like I think one of the first things that goes when you're tightening your belt, isn't strangely enough, insurance,
yep.
Which is probably not a good idea, but it does happen.
Yeah, I was talking to someone about this yesterday, and that's exactly what people do, is they either scrap it completely or they start to decrease their insurance premiums and what they get covered.
Yeah.
It's not a great strategy, by the way, but when times are tough, you know.
What do you do, right? Oh. Exactly. And then global markets, a little bit softer yesterday. All major indices in the U.S. closed negative, but Amazon share price crossed $1,000 yesterday, so everyone's very excited.
Wow.
First time ever. The share has basically doubled in the last 2 years, and it now pushes Jeff Bezos' net worth to $85 billion.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, he's hot on the heels of Bill Gates, whose net worth is now $88.8 billion.
But here's the question. Like, is Amazon making plenty of money?
Yeah. The answer is yes.
Okay.
They are a fantastic cash generator.
All right.
An absolute cash cow.
Well, I mean, that's quite a good thing for these tech businesses, because sometimes they have a balance sheet that doesn't reflect the share price, you know? I mean, sometimes there's a huge inflation in what the perceived value of the company is, and then the difference between that and what they're actually bringing in profits.
Oh, absolutely. Think Twitter, think Snapchat, think Facebook in the beginning was pretty much the same. Now at least they're making some money.
Yeah.
So yes, I think you're right. These tech companies' valuations, can sometimes be a little bit skewed.
Right. I wanted to ask you this, but it seems someone has beaten me to it. Which of the hashtag invest bundles has grown the most since inception? That's from Ian. Do you know offhand?
I don't know offhand. Sorry, that's a good question.
Can we maybe
though?
Have a look at that tomorrow?
I can definitely do that for you.
Okay, that would be good. All right.
I can tell you which has been the most volatile, the aggressive, because shares are always, you know, more volatile than the conservative kind of cash and money market and bond instruments. But I can't tell you which one has grown the most just at this stage.
Well, we'll have a look at it properly tomorrow, Ian. Don't panic. All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks.
All right, Anthea. Thank you. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Cool. Anthea Gardner, look at your money. And she works hard for your money. And you can always check in on anything Anthea has said by going straight to the Money Shot page. It's right there for all to see on cliffcentral.com. You can also sign up for hashtag invest if you're interested in having some skin in the game. And maybe if you do want to get involved in the stock market, the only advice I have, because I don't know anything about shares, that's why we talk to Anthea every day. But the thing I do know is the earlier you get in, the better. You have two things that can really affect your money positively. Number one is time. So the sooner you start investing, the better. Number two is whatever happens on the markets and however that grows or doesn't grow. Those are the two biggest factors. There are other factors too, like, do you know the economy at large, the amount of growth in the country, whatever your percentage is, if you're just saving money in the bank, your interest rates. But this is probably, if you start early enough, the best way to really watch your money grow. If you think about all the dumb stuff we buy every day, we spend on groceries and spend on entertaining ourselves and on clothes. But honestly, this is the best place to put your money if you really want to be wealthy one day. And you've got to start now. If you're in your 20s and you're listening to me, don't waste a single second. If someone had told me this when I was 20, I might have a pile of money. Get involved. Go to hashtag invest. It's all on the Money Shot page on cliffcentral.com. 3 minutes after 7. When we come back, we'll check in on some more news. We've got a couple of interesting people popping by today, including our guest later on, Gavin Sharples. And you met this guy, didn't you, Sia?
Yeah.
You saw him in action, right?
Yeah. So I was at a breakfast where he was speaking and really just took us away from the moment he stepped up onto stage. So I'd like to actually get to know more about him, the backstory as well.
Me too. He's coming in a little bit later, 8 o'clock, and we'll speak to him. So don't go anywhere.
CliffCentral.com.